Hi, my name is Jules, and I'm the host of Riddle Me That True Crime, which focuses on unsolved murders and disappearances, where I often do so with the help of family members, where they come on and tell their stories, and oftentimes with experts. I'll usually present the story over a multi-episode story arc. Sometimes I'll do one-off episodes like one I covered recently, which was the tragic and very suspicious death of 14-year-old Noah Donohoe in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So Noah went off on his bike one day. It was Father's Day, the 21st of June, 2020, amidst lockdown. He rides his bike. He's going to Cave Hill Park to meet friends, and something along the route causes him to get derailed. He ends up in an area that he's unfamiliar with and has no business being in, given that he's a Catholic schoolboy and this is a loyalist area. So it takes just under a week until Noah's body is discovered. He's discovered unclothed in a storm drain, and the PSNI comes out with a preliminary conclusion of accident. Mind you, this is before an autopsy has been done to determine manner of death or cause of death, and also before the forensics has been run. The family is screaming out for justice. I really hope you will join me on Riddle Me That True Crime, which you can listen to anywhere you get your podcasts.
The Oracle Network.
Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. Today I'll be talking about Aubrey Dameron. I did watch a few news stations from Oklahoma, and each one says Aubrey's last name differently. Some say Dameron, and some say Dameron. So I am sincerely sorry if I do mispronounce her last name. I tried my best to find sources that would be accurate in pronouncing it, but they all say it differently. Aubrey was born on October 22, 1993. She was a 25-year-old transgender indigenous woman living on the border of Grove, Oklahoma in 2019. I think to know a little bit about where she was from is very important. Grove has a beautiful statue of the Cherokee Nation tribal seal. Among the massive three federally recognized tribes in the U.S., the Cherokee Nation is the most enormous. In 1941, the Cherokee Nation was acknowledged during Roosevelt's presidency. A constitution was authorized in 1976 under the name Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. The seal was implemented by the Act of the Cherokee National Council. In 1871, it was authorized. The statue of the seal encompasses and supports the governmental organization and the everlasting fortitude of the Cherokee indigenous people. There's a star with 7 points on the seal. These points represent the 7 eras of Cherokee clans, as well as the 7 syllables of Sequoia's script, which translates to Cherokee Nation. There is a wreath of oak leaves on the statue, which represents the Cherokees constantly setting their land on fire, in which oak was the wood burned by tradition. The fire was spiritual, sacred, and centuries old. Lastly, the words on the statue are both in English and Cherokee. This makes it publicly loud and clear about the authority of the seal, and recognizes the 1839 approval of the Constitution of the Cherokee Nation West. Before the termination of the Cherokee Nation at Oklahoma statehood, this seal was on all documents. In the summer of 2018, Aubrey, also known as Shorty to everyone who loved her, moved back home with her mother, Jen Bird, and her brother, and her mom's boyfriend. Before she came back home, she was living in New Mexico. She was living with her then-boyfriend, J.C. Pearson, and she also had surgery in New Mexico. She went back home to get help for her drug abuse and alcoholism. Aubrey said she was a two-spirit, which to Native Americans means that she held a blend of male and female spirits inside of her. Her aunt Pam said, quote, she was finding out who she was. That person was Aubrey. Pam's brother and Aubrey's uncle, Christian, told Oxygen.com, two spirits were held in high regard before colonization. They could walk between two worlds, the world of a woman and the world of a man. They were sacred. Aubrey was a strong human being. For others who were afraid to speak out or were just being ignored, she would gladly and loudly be their voice. She always let people who needed a roof over their heads share her home. She was an activist and never backed down from people who attempted to harass, intimidate, and bully her or others. She faced a lot, including getting thrown out of a woman's restroom at more than one establishment. Her grandfather was in hospice care, and as she was visiting him, the pastor that was there saw that she was wearing women's flats. The pastor told her that she shouldn't be dressing like a woman, and she should throw those shoes in a fireplace. Unfortunately, this incident did affect her a lot, to the point that she did throw the shoes away, as her family did nothing. No matter what she went through, she was resilient. To add to her amazing character, she always was a forgiving person. If anyone was vile towards her, she forgave them. That is a strong and wonderful human. Not everyone is good at forgiving when people are hateful, and it is admittedly hard to forgive sometimes, but that's who she was, and I admire that so much. Sadly, on March 9th, 2019, Aubrey went missing. The community lost such a beautiful soul, and I know looks do not matter, but I have to say, she had such an enchanting, mysterious beauty about her. The bright light in her soul absolutely radiates through her eyes. It's devastating to not know where she is, or if she is even alive. Of course, we always hope for the best, and we keep yearning about that chance that she's still out there somewhere, alive, waiting on someone to find her. On the other side of that coin, it's been 2 years, and sadly, it hurts to even say out loud that it's not a good sign, and it breaks my heart. Aubrey was described as 5 feet 10 inches tall, around 150 pounds at the time that she went missing. She has 2 tattoos, a Traquatrus symbol on her back. It's a very popular tattoo that I will post a picture of on socials, and the tattoo is 3-cornered, described as 3 interlaced arcs. It means protection, everlasting life, and unity. She also has her nickname, Shorty, on her upper left arm. Her mother Jen's sister and brother, Aubrey's aunt and uncle mentioned previously, Pam Smith and Christian Fencer, are the 2 primary voices for the family. They keep bringing people together, crying out to find Aubrey, and keeping her name, information, and pictures out there. Allegedly, Jen woke up sometime around 3:30 in the morning on March 9th, 2019, and witnessed her daughter leaving the house after she told her family that she was going to hang out with a friend. In some reports, it says her mother informed the authorities of this, and some say that she didn't. Aubrey was on medication for epilepsy, and when she went missing, her Aunt Pam was so worried because it was a medication she needed, and it was left behind, and so was her purse. Pam also heard that Aubrey's phone was left at home, too. There was not any place, like a store or anything, that she could have walked to, because the area was a little country place with nowhere really to go. The family let Oxygen.com see a text where a detective said Aubrey's phone last pinged at 3:42 a.m. not far from her home. It's reported she was messaging people on Facebook for a ride. However, again, her phone was found at home, and no one has ever been connected to this case as the person who may have picked her up that night. Pam and her brother Christian had another huge fear. Aubrey was still transitioning. Even though she appeared to be fully female, there are horrible people out there who knew that she was transgender and did not like it. When Aubrey confided in her so-called friends and even family about knowing she was transgender when she was in high school, some were so critical and hard on her about it that Pam said, quote, "There were people who mocked her and called her transphobic slurs, but she stayed true to herself and she never wanted revenge. Instead, she would pray for them." It frightens Pam and Christian very much to think that this could have been a hate crime, because just as she was bullied in school, she was persecuted by some after she went missing. People would tear down Aubrey's missing person flyers, and there were a few people getting on her social media pages and talking badly about her, using transphobic, horrible insults. On March 11th, Christian's girlfriend reported Aubrey missing. The report was filed with the Delaware County Sheriff's Office. However, Pam was frustrated because the police did not seem to care, and they did not seem too interested. She said, quote, "It just seemed like no one cared. We felt the authorities blamed Aubrey's, quote, high-risk lifestyle for her disappearance," end quote. Pam even talked about how anytime they got a tip, they'd let the police know, and she could blatantly see how they disregarded Aubrey's life. Delaware County Sheriff's Office said that when this all came about, Aubrey's case was investigated by their agency. When people from Dateline contacted them for questions, they directed them to the FBI, who has never gotten back to them as of September 6, 2021. To add to all of this, Pam and Christian did not even know Aubrey was actually missing until a few days later, and because of this, they questioned the true date that she went missing, because the police were not communicating well with the family, and the police started becoming more distant in regard to communication. Aubrey's aunt and uncle found out in one of the worst ways about Aubrey being a missing person. The small town rumors started to float around, finding its way to a family friend. This friend of Pam's sent her a message on social media and asked if Aubrey was missing. So Pam immediately called the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, and they verified that she was indeed missing, and Pam needed to get in touch with Aubrey's mother, Jen, for any other questions or information. Pam started realizing everyone had stories about Aubrey's disappearance, and they were all different. Not only that, but Pam called the sheriff after hearing so many different things to figure out what was being done regarding her niece's disappearance. The sheriff told Pam on March 18th that he was just now being informed about her case. She called back on the 19th and talked to Captain Wells, who told her that he doesn't even believe she's missing because of her, quote, lifestyle. Pam asked him, quote, "Because she's transgender?" And he said, "No, because of her lifestyle." Pam responded, "So you're telling me because of her lifestyle that her life isn't worth searching for?" He says, "No, that's not what I'm saying." And she said, "That's exactly what you're saying." Even during an interview with Oxygen, Captain Wells, who is now retired as of September 2020, said Aubrey's case was the last one he ever reviewed, and what made her case unique was her lifestyle. He went on to say that it wasn't only that she was transgender, but she was sexually active and known to abuse drugs. As if that meant her life did not matter as much, or that she just wandered off. This man is merely making assumptions, and it's crystal clear why they did not do much at all for Aubrey and her family. He claims that they made 100 follow-up contacts in her case, but never found anyone or any leads that could point them towards any location of where she might be. Aubrey and her uncle, Christian Fencer, were only a few months apart in age, and they were the best of friends. Christian said, quote, "Growing up, we knew we were different," end quote. Christian is gay, and early on, that's how Aubrey identified herself as well. But later on in high school, as mentioned earlier, she identified as transgender. Christian sang her praises for being so strong and her authentic self through all the bullying and disrespect. Her goal was to always make people feel included and comfortable in their own skin. Christian said she never wanted anyone to feel lonely or out of place because he thinks that's how she felt, and she didn't want anyone else to feel that way. One strange thing was, Aubrey and Christian talked all the time, but right before she went missing, she wasn't communicating with him like usual. He may have heard from her every few weeks, and he found that extremely odd. Pam's children, Christian and Aubrey, were all pretty close in age, so they were always together. Pam said she thinks of Aubrey driving along, singing old country songs. She said, quote, "She just fell in love with the song, 'You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma.'" Pam recalled them all singing it together and having the greatest time. Over the past 2 years, Aubrey's family has received incredible national help and support from Indigenous groups. They've gotten together with the family to raise more awareness about Aubrey's disappearance. Also, they've organized and led multiple searches for her, many times the MMIWUSA, a dedicated group that helps with cases involving murdered and missing Indigenous women in America, would step in and aid in these efforts. Aubrey's Aunt Pam has been very pleased with the group, calling them phenomenal and an asset for families going through something such as this. The first search for Aubrey was on March 23, 2019. There was a sock with possible blood on it recovered a half a mile away from the family's home. This sock was given to the Oklahoma State Bureau investigation. A conclusive outcome was never given to Aubrey's family. Pam said there were so many red flags, and strangely, there were family that should have been helping them look for Aubrey, but they just weren't. Why? This makes me side-eye the family for two reasons. Either they didn't care, or is it possible a family member was involved? When a search party came from Louisiana, Texas, and Arkansas, along with Oklahoma City and canine teams 3 months later, they searched for a week and a tip steered them to a shallow grave, and there was a black jacket right beside it. This was near Kenwood. The canines also led them to a pond close by, but even after emptying 3 feet of water and searching the pond, there was nothing. Members of the family were responsible for giving over items with Aubrey's DNA on it to compare to anything found. Everything was coming back inconclusive. Pam said the family was not even helping, So how could they trust them to give Aubrey's DNA? That they may have given them anyone's DNA. Aubrey's close family will not give up. Her mother isn't talking, at least answering any questions from the media outlets. There are only a few mentions of her mother's boyfriend that I found. Police did receive a tip that Aubrey's mother's boyfriend had actually stated that he murdered Aubrey. However, this tip has never been able to be confirmed, and he has not been named a suspect. Records do show that assault and battery charges were dropped on March 1st, days before she disappeared. These charges were against Aubrey for fighting with her mother's boyfriend. According to the Cherokee Phoenix, in January of 2021, Oklahoma Representative Daniel Pay filed a bill to create the Aubrey Alert. The bill aimed to send alerts for missing adults within Cherokee Nation. The bill was later renamed the Casey Alert, which is in reference to Cherokee native Casey Russell, who went missing from Seminole, Oklahoma in 2016. According to CherokeePhoenix.org, the Casey Alert would send a public notification when people from the ages of 18 to 55 are reported missing and believed to be in danger, like amber alerts for children and silver alerts for older people. The House Public Safety Committee returned the bill with a do pass recommendation on a 6-2 vote, but it never made it to the chamber floor. Oklahoma's 57th legislature will reconvene in February of 2022, but the bill must receive a House vote before that deadline or the bill will die. Pam said that the name change of the bill from the Aubrey Alert to Casey Alert was due to Daniel Pay getting nasty feedback after introducing the bill from lawmakers saying that they absolutely would not support the bill being named after a transgender person. However, that does not in any way change Pam, Christian, or anyone else's support and their hope that the bill passes. Pam said, quote, "I really hope it passes because it will cover those ages 18 to 59 that go missing. It won't just benefit Indigenous people, but non-Indigenous people as well. Too many people continue to go missing and get murdered." Those that are the closest to Aubrey are trying their best to get answers and to find her. The family does have a Facebook page. It's called Missing Aubrey Dameron from Grove, Oklahoma. So it would be awesome if you want to go give the page a like and a follow. Pam said, quote, "It's high risk to be Native American and missing, and high risk to be transgender and missing. And Aubrey was both," end quote. In absolute Aubrey fashion, her last Facebook post was on February 25th, 2019, where she posted a sign that said, quote, "You're never too important to be nice to people." Pam said of this, quote, "And that was how Aubrey felt. She was always there to help others in need, and she was there to be their voice," end quote. People closest to Aubrey not only want there to be more awareness for her, but so many others who have gone missing and possibly murdered in America. Pam even said to Dateline that Aubrey was the voice for people who needed one, and now they have turned into her voice, and it's not a time to be silent. At this point in time, Aubrey's case is still under investigation, so Pam cannot say where it stands at this moment. What we do know is the Delaware County Sheriff's Office is not touching Aubrey Dameron's case anymore, and it passed it on to the FBI. This is because of a law that passed which has impacted Aubrey's case in a negative way. Sourcing from CherokeePhoenix.org, It states that in 2020, the Supreme Court's ruling on McGirt versus Oklahoma determined that there were certain criminal cases that the state jurisdiction can't really do anything about within the Cherokee Nation's reservation. The Delaware County Police don't have the authority to do really anything when it comes to something like this happening on a reservation anymore. However, it is subject to federal jurisdiction. Aubrey's DNA profile is in the databases for the OSBI, the National Crime Information Center, and the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. Remember, though, Pam is suspicious that it may not be Aubrey's DNA. Pam and Christian helped create the Northeast Oklahoma Indigenous Safety and Education Group. Its focal point is to keep missing and murdered Indigenous women around the area in the spotlight. Pam and Christian are so appreciative for all of the love and support that stretches farther than just their region, but they do wish more people in Oklahoma would help them. If anyone out there has any information about Aubrey's disappearance or possible whereabouts, you're asked to call the FBI at 918-664-3300 or the Cherokee Nation Marshal Service at 918-207-3800. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that there are answers in Aubrey's case really soon, and I'm praying and thinking about Pam, Christian, and those closest to Aubrey. Until next time, take care and stay safe. I love you all.